little bits and pieces of wisdom, and some of them are passages that you can preach from. They're more preachable. Today, we are in Proverbs 6. Actually, we're just going to spend a little time there. We're going to spend time in Proverbs 6 and 26 and in Colossians. But let me read this passage to you, Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 11. Are we ready for that? Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Tough words there. We have two extremes in our culture. We have the person who never stops working, and as a result, rarely has time for their family. It seems they're so addicted to working that it becomes a detriment to their families and their health and even their reputation. They're aptly called workaholics. This extreme deserves its own sermon, and sometime we will cover it. I'm a recovering alcoholic, not alcoholic, workaholic. I'm not the alcoholic. Oh boy, I'm going to hear from Angela on that one for sure. I'm a recovering workaholic, I hope, and don't worry about the alcohol thing. What I want to talk today, though, now that I've completely lost your attention, what I want to talk to you about is a case of the lazies. It's the other stream from workaholic that I just described and is known by its scientific name, couch potato. In an age where there are more jobs than there are job applicants, I fear that we are infected with a lack of motivation to simply work and provide for one's family and for one's future. Mike often sends me emails and texts, and he says, "Pastor, can you send out the word that we need to hire people where I work?" And that happens all around town. Let me point out that the pool of workers that are available for the many job openings that we have is not at all exhausted. There are plenty of people out there for the jobs that are available. It would appear that there are enough people to fill employment needs. It's just that many Americans simply don't want to work. Maybe it's a reaction to the workaholism that we've had, because the rest of the world looked at us with our, the fact that we don't have vacation provided by employers, whereas the Scandinavian countries have vacation that they work maybe only 40 weeks a year as a government mandated vacation schedule. And we work and work and work, and lots of people barely take vacation, sometimes because their employers don't provide it. That's a whole different issue. But it appears that these days Americans do not want to work. God created us to work. And we're going to look at that in a bit. And as we do, we will eventually look at the industriousness of the ant that we read about in Proverbs 6. And the lack of motivation of the sluggard, which is the term Proverbs uses for such people. Our text isn't in the place where the writer addresses this issue. He gives us a vivid, it isn't the only place where this is addressed. He gives us a vivid word picture in Proverbs 26, and it's crystal clear. He says, "As the door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth." So first of all, let's look at the sluggard. Great word. I'm certain that you can picture this sluggard in your mind's eye, lying there on the sofa. He's literally a couch potato, turning back and forth like a door on its hinges that moves a lot but doesn't go anywhere. This person lays there with an attitude that says, somebody else will take care of it. Somebody else will take care of me. I don't have to be responsible. Someone will surely provide for me because I'm entitled. I've got it coming. Proverbs 26:15 is very vivid in my mind. The sluggard can't bring, he flops his hand into the food dish, and he can't bring his hand back out of the dish because he's just too lazy to move. This is vivid for me because I think every church, not this church yet, although we do have chickens in this congregation. We do have people who have chickens. But in every congregation prior to this, we have had people who have had chicken farms. At our Kenoy congregation and our Mannheim congregation, yes, those two, the previous church, they had layers, but at my two previous churches, they had broiler houses. They raised chickens for Tyson, kept it in the family. And they raised broilers, and they made lots of money at that. They placed the new chickens, the company would bring the chickens and place them in the chicken house when they were cute little peeps. But by the time those chickens would reach market weight, they are so big and they're so fat that they just sit at the feeder and eat. They literally sit there at the feeder because it's too much effort to move. And when I think of the sluggard, I think of those fat white birds. On the other hand, it's a truth that work takes effort. Duh. I know it's a no-brainer statement, but it's true. The Bible says we've got to get off the couch and get to work. I know that I'm preaching to the choir here at ABC. We are a working congregation, but I hope that this gives you some information that might be helpful. But a good reason for having a job is to earn money and to support those we are responsible for. Paul, who supported his ministry by being a tent maker, literally a tent maker, he and his friends made tents for a living. That's how he supported himself. He said, in a letter to Timothy, he said, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Well, Paul never pulls punches. But he's exactly right. My point is that Christ followers cannot and should not refuse to work. If you're able-bodied, you should not refuse to work. No one can say that there are no jobs out there. I agree that those jobs out there may not be the perfect job, but there is work for anyone who seeks it. It's our job as Christ followers to support our families. I find those words from Paul effective when I see guys who are in danger of being deadbeat dads when they don't buckle down and take care of their families, especially after a separation or a divorce. Paul makes it plain as day. He says, no matter what it takes, you need to persist and support your family. So if you can't get a job that brings down $25 an hour, work at McDonald's until you do. Now, by the way, in Columbus, I've heard that McDonald's is paying $22 an hour. That's higher starting pay than police officers. Maybe I need to adjust my dollar amounts here. But these are tough words because it's truth. Another reason we work is so that we can be givers. Not only must we support our own, but we must also help others in need. Paul is giving a list of instructions to growing Christians in Ephesians 4, when he says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, do honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. True, there are a lot of people out there who for a variety of reasons are as helpless as a door that's been knocked off its hinges. We need to help them. ABC's really good at this. We've always been good at this. We help people in our community, and our community knows that. I hear the generosity that you have for one another on a regular basis. But I'm just stating facts. One reason we work is to help others. Another reason we've got to work is the mental health aspect. This is one of my favorites. Good, honest labor is satisfying. So often, I get to the end of a Saturday, which is supposed to be my day off. I've been working in the yard. I wrote this sermon before I tweaked my back yesterday, by the way. I've been working in my yard, spreading mulch, cleaning out spouts, or cleaning the basement, and I look back at my day and I enjoy a deep sense of satisfaction. It happens when I've had a productive day as a pastor as well. A pastor is often on duty 24/7, but he also knows when he's accomplished much, and it's very satisfying. How about when you've had a great day at work? I see this when Keith posts a picture of a newly restored farmroll tractor. And it's satisfying to see those beautiful tractors and to know what he transitioned that thing from. You know, maybe the steering wheel fell off when he was loading it, and there it's got a new steering wheel and new seats. I hear it in the description that Mike gives when he describes a large paint booth housing unit that he's built at his job. It's obvious in the proud words that Terry used last week when she talked about how much a happy crew of ABCers accomplished in our spring cleanup work day the day before. It's a huge satisfaction. God gave us each talents and gifts that he intends for us to use for the good of creation, and using those gifts brings tremendous satisfaction to both God and to us. Notice then that the person who refuses to work never has that satisfaction as he lays there on his couch. And as he lays there on his couch, he's not thinking about it, but his self-work is plummeting. Couch potatoes are often very depressed, and that makes their couch potatoism often almost terminal. The writer of Ecclesiastes, very possibly the same person who wrote Proverbs, Solomon, writes, "The fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh." The NIV clarifies that verse this way, and I think it's helpful. The fool folds his hands and ruins himself. With little effort, the picture is clear in your mind's eye. of this person just lying there, seemingly without a care in the world, but missing out on the satisfaction of a job well done because he's not doing any work. God desires and has designed us for purposeful labor. As you read the Bible on the subject of work, you will see the correlation of slothfulness, and that's why I used a sloth up there on that opening, in my opening scripture, the correlation between slothfulness and loss of self-respect. Work satisfies. Lying on the couch leads to destruction. Being a sluggard is the way to nothingness. Part of the problem is the idea that work is equated with punishment. And let me just say, work is not punishment. I've heard it. Well, if it hadn't been for Adam and Eve, we'd be frolicking around in the garden enjoying a perpetual paradise vacation. But if you look in Genesis, you will see that God put Adam and Eve there with the instruction to work the garden. In fact, the exact words are, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and to keep it. Now, that was before Eve was created in that Genesis 2 creation order. So, ladies, you're not off the hook. Okay, it's not just the man who's supposed to work. But notice that work came before sin. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not implying that work was the cause of sin. I'm talking about the fact of creation order. Labor was part of the process. Work is not a punishment that came with the fall of Adam and Eve. It's been God's purpose for his children to engage in work since creation. But the problem is often that some people work at not working. They'll go to great lengths to avoid it. Do you remember the Ernest movies? A couple that come to mind are Ernest Saves Christmas and Ernest Goes to Jail. They were my guilty pleasure. Okay, I'll admit that I enjoyed them. I laughed a lot when I watched them. I'm not sure which movie it was, but I remember Ernest had lots of Rube Goldberg inventions, okay? And he had an elaborate system to take a shower. It was the quintessential Rube Goldberg device that had many moving parts. It was part of the fun of the movie, but it certainly would have been much easier for Ernest to just go and turn on the shower and take a shower. He worked at making more work. The text that I read at the beginning of this talk from Proverbs 6 shows that it's much better to be like an ant and like her be diligently and vigilantly working in order to have the promise that you'll not experience poverty. The sluggard starves and freezes in the winter cold, while the ant is quite literally snug as a bug in the rug. Paul writes to the Colossians in that scripture that Bonnie read, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, work at it." You know how now that the idea of work is important and that labor is important, and you know why too. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Is your heart in your work? Do you go to your work with the enthusiasm that says, I'm getting a charge out of this? Or at least you appreciate what you're doing. You can get great satisfaction out of doing something pretty menial or dirty when you know that you're not doing it for you. Cleaning the house for mom, mowing the lawn for dad, And it's even better if they know, if they don't know that you're doing that, it's a surprise. You can get a charge out of doing the most menial thing. And how about this? It's in the last part of the first sentence where it says, you are doing it for the Lord and not for men. Do what you do for God. You represent Christ as you work. How do you work? How would you work if Jesus was your supervisor? How often would you be late? How long would your breaks be? Do people know you are a Christian by how you work? Or do they get an idea about a bad idea about Christians by how you work? Are you representing the church well by how you work? John Maxwell calls this the and then some principle. Because he says that Christ followers should do what's required and then some. That secular phrase, what goes around comes around, is actually a truism. If you work hard as unto the Lord, you will be compensated. You might get a raise. If a layoff comes, you might be the last to go. Promotions come for people who work hard. When you add value to where you work, you will be compensated. It works. Now, I'm not saying that these are the reasons why you work hard. We don't work hard for promotion. We don't work hard for higher pay. We work hard because we represent the Lord, but we still work hard. A quick aside here as I finish up. The Bible takes a dim view of get-rich-quick tactics. Schemes to not have to work, like lotteries and any kind of gambling, and playing in the stock market when you don't have the money to play in the stock market, are a bad use of money. An honest day's work for honestly earned compensation is always what God intended. Just a short sentence to close. God's people are to be ants and not sluggards. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.